Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Welcome to episode 210 of the Idea Talks. You say, wait a second, I thought Drew was the one who normally opens up the podcast. Drew, why did you not?
This is the farewell.
Yeah. What?
What do you mean by that?
What are you talking about?
I normally answer all the ask all the questions, mm-hmm. and I get to answer all of them.
Yeah, you're not the interviewer this time, pal.
I'm not.
No, you're in the hot seat, and I'm the interviewer because we're calling this episode Farewell, a Special Message from Drew. Now, why? Because today I will be interviewing Drew. He has co-hosted this podcast with me for over 5 years, and today is his final episode. He's been called by the Lord to open a new Chick-fil-A in Phoenix, Arizona. And the Idea Talks podcast will be going through some shifts and updates. Though he may rejoin us in the future when his new location is settled in, I wanted Drew to speak directly to our audience and share his thoughts for the network of ministry leaders that we all love so much. From his unique perspective as a business leader, a deacon, a church trustee, Idea Network team member, former pastor, Idea Day delegate multiple times over, and as your podcast host for over 5 years, he has a very particular vantage point to see ministry leaders and this network. We'd be wise to hear from his counsel today. Drew, welcome to the podcast. What message do you feel God would have you share with us today?
Well, no pressure after that intro. Yeah. It's like the dash in your tombstone, right?
Right. Yeah. This is it. This is everything. This is George Washington's farewell address to the troops.
I feel like I should be playing some kind of music in the background here. I might insert that later.
You can control that.
Hey, I'll give you some context. So for the last 15 years, I've been working for Apple. I haven't really ever talked about that on the podcast.
In fact, I remember early on you said, Josh, you cannot mention.
Yeah. There's a clause in our policies at Apple that talk about that,
I've been very careful.
Yeah,
I've said things like tech. I've said things computer. I've said
corporate person.
Corporate.
Yeah. You've been great. Yeah, haven't let it slip.
I've tried.
But now, since 2015, I've been in this process with Chick-fil-A of trying to become an operator, and it's been 7 years of interviews and long conversations and lots of patience, prayer, and persistence, and that has led us to up until this point. I tried for a long, long time to get a Chick-fil-A here in Las Vegas, but God, for whatever reason, does not have that in the cards for us. So while technology, somebody once said on the podcast, it's only 4.5-hour drive, I can still attend Southern Hills. I'm like, that's very presumptuous of them. It's funny.
It's not a problem at all. We'll just get you Southwest airline tickets.
Yeah,
that's it. So you can sit in an airport for 4 hours instead of driving.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But no, God's opened up this door for us, and my family and I are grateful to be able to walk through it. It is a huge opportunity and responsibility that's in front of us. And we've been praying about this a long, long time, and I'm super grateful just to be able to have the opportunity to do it. So, you know, I think we've talked about it before, but I have a ministry background and I went to school to be a double major of youth and pastoral ministries. I don't know how it was at your college, but in my college, if you were going to be a pastor, but you were a lazy student, you would just take youth ministry because you wouldn't have to take Greek.
Got you.
I never wanted to become a senior pastor, but I was a youth major. But I was interested in taking Greek, so we double majored in both, and we graduated that year, or I graduated that year, both degrees. It was kind of cool. But I had this thought the other day, and I was talking to Christina late at night, and, you know, early on in my ministry career, it was very obvious, like, I was the round peg in the square hole, right? I didn't exactly fit in the ministry we were part of there, in the church before coming to Southern Hills. And I had this thought, I said, it's just like God to work where it could potentially redeem time. And I had this opportunity, especially owning a Chick-fil-A, there's a potential of me having a greater impact on the youth of America through this opportunity than ever becoming a youth pastor. And is it the path I would have chosen? It was the path I thought, like, not in a million years. But I think you know, that's what God has for us in the future. So we're super excited about it.
Yeah, well, we're super bummed and angry. Our church has gone through. So here's the thing about Drew that you guys may not know. Everybody in the church knows his wife and loves his wife. Drew, though he talks on this podcast all the time, is not so broadly known within the church community because he's more of a quiet guy. You're a bit introverted. We've talked about that on the podcast. But to those who know Drew and know his ministry know that he is one of those men that deeply impact the church and kind of lead the church from behind the scenes, right? He's a church trustee on the legal documents of the church. I mean, not as of today, but was for years. Really is one of those people that I and the pastors of the church went to before we made any major decisions. And anytime I made a decision without going to him first, I got in trouble and and was reminded, like, hey, you know, we're here for counsel. And so my point being, the church itself really has had to, those who know your involvement have had to wrestle with this. Fred and I both have had to wrestle, Heather, with your her friendship with your wife, we've had to wrestle with this, but we've come to the realization that that this is a beautiful next step for you and your family, and to celebrate and revel in the time that God gave us together rather than mourn the time we won't have together and be excited for your future.
Sure.
But when it comes to your ministry here at Southern Hills, part of your ministry at Southern Hills has been able to serve your pastor by helping with this podcast. How did that begin? How did we start that conversation?
Yeah. We, like a lot of your conversations at this church, happen at Starbucks over coffee. Josh is really not a wired person with the amount of like stories. Most of the like really crazy stories all happen at a Starbucks with Josh.
Correct.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
But you don't really drink that much coffee. It's really funny. But anyway, I think I came to you saying like, hey, like, I don't really know. I told you a little bit about our past and, you know, my ministry experience as well as what God was doing with me professionally. And I was like, hey, like, I don't really have a clear vision for what is next. And this was probably at this point, like what, 6-7 years ago. Yeah. And your advice was at the time saying like, hey, use your gifts. But if you don't know which door to open, maybe try turning a few doorknobs. Like, in other words, like maybe experiment, right? With like things that you think God might have for you. And towards the end of the conversation, it was winding down and you were like, hey, like you have a lot of gifts in this certain area. Like I have this podcast. It's kind of been on pause for 7 months. If God has this for it and like, this is an avenue you think, you know, you'd want to pursue, like I'd be willing and happy to have you do it. And that was really it. Like, I think we started talking about a lot of leadership type principles. And then it kind of turned into making sure we had a voice for the network, from there. And there's lots of different episodes I remember doing. But in a lot of ways it was an opportunity that you saw that I could lead in that could also not just benefit you as a pastor and a ministry leader of the Idea Network, but also as a way for me to exercise my gifts.
Yeah. I remember you specifically used the phrase, I thought it was interesting. You use the phrase, a creative outlet to serve God.
Right.
And I'm like, what a cool way to say it, a creative outlet to serve God. And just like you said, we had just lost Pastor Steve Miller, friend of the network. He's been on the podcast many times. And he helped start the podcast for 15 to 20 episodes, something like that. But again, it was on hiatus. And at that point, we only did one episode once a month.
Yeah.
And so it had been 7 months. We'd missed 7 episodes. And I'm like, well, you know, this square peg seems to have found a square hole.
Yeah.
And it seems like this would be good for you. It seems like this would be good for us. And it seems like it'd be good for the ministry leaders out there to be able to open this back up. And man, ever since then, it's been great. We've done now together close to 200 episodes together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I use that terminology very specifically because you asked me to prepare a few things for this episode. And I think that is probably like the first point I'll make. Like, so I guess the way you set this up, like tell our audience, I guess, how you wanted this conversation to go today.
The way I wanted this conversation to go is this. I said, Drew, look, you've seen this network from a unique vantage point. You understand us in a unique way because not only have you served within a local church that has been growing, you've been to Idea Days. You know these ministry leaders. You comment in the Facebook group. You were a pastor. Then you were a deacon. And you have been the voice, one of the voices of this network for years. So you know us. And you also love us. But also you're not necessarily one of us in the sense that... So it's a very unique... And with all of that, there's this heart inside of you and a brain inside of you that can really speak to us in a very special way. And so I don't know what you're going to share, but I said, will you pray about it and share with our network a special message from Drew?
Yeah. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity for sure. And you're right. Like, I think the perspective I always had is a unique one with you. And I think a relationship, not only with you, but also the network, because the race that I'm running with my pony is not the race that you're running with your ponies. In other words, like the further I progress or get notoriety in the network is not a race that I am in. Like my goal is to not gain followers. It's to not become bigger in the idea network. It's to not become a pastor of a 15,000 person church one day. I'm a businessman. I've in the world, I'm trying to draw a business and own a business. Right. So it's really unique because like, I think you don't have a lot of people in your life that don't want something from you in that way.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think our relationship has always been one of just, I guess, respect, because at the end of the day, like I don't want anything from you. Like, I just want you to be my pastor.
Really good point. Yeah.
And I want you to be a friend. So the first thing I think I kind of will touch on the whole round peg square hole. And I guess my challenge to the ministry leaders out there is like, you have a me out there. So in your church, in your ministry, whatever, there's probably somebody like me that's there. And what do I mean by that? It was very obvious in Christine and I's very first ministry that I was the round peg in the square hole. But part of that job as a leader and is our job as leaders is to make sure we find the right hole for the right person. So in other words, like, you didn't come to me asking to run a simulation for you or like to take over your books or whatever. You're like, hey, like, let's do a podcast together, because you knew that was my strength. That's our job as leaders, is to find where the people's strength, what the people's strengths are, and to put them in a role that will not only fulfill them, but also help them be the best at it. I would be really bad if I was your bookkeeper. I would be really bad if I was your accountant or, you know, in charge of all your assimilation for the church. But I'm a pretty dang good podcast hoster, and I do a really good job editing, right? Because that's my strengths. So I think that's kind of like my first, I guess, challenge to this network is like, find who is in your church, maybe that some of their gifts are not being used, and then try to use them.
It's extremely comforting to hear, because when you're in my seat, I'll go to music that our church experienced a shift a year ago.
Yeah.
And when we found out that Michael and Abby were leaving the church, well, not only were we concerned, but Jason, who leads that entire department, was extremely concerned.
Yeah.
Our deacons were concerned. A lot of people, oh man, this is the next generation of leadership that's leaving. And guys, you know what this feels like. You're like, oh no, if they go, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And here's what we've realized. The replacements are not only there, God has already prepared for it to get better than it's ever been.
Sure.
Now, I'm saying that by experience, and I'm also saying that by faith, because at this moment, as I sit across from you recording this months before it will air, I don't know the answer that some of these people will know that takes place a week or 2 weeks from now.
Sure.
What happens with all of these next steps?
Yeah.
But you're 100% right. They're already there. And friend, they're there in Indiana, and they are right there in Idaho, and they are right there in the suburbs of Dallas and Texas. The person you need is there. You just need to take some time to talk to the Lord about what peg fits into what hole. Yep. Man, I'm really glad you bring that. That's a great message.
Yeah. So that easily bleeds into the next point, and that is the fact that, again, some of these are not only things that I want to share, but it's also things that I've learned over 5 years and in listening to ministry leaders. You're the voice of this podcast. I host it, but like I do a lot of listening, right? And that's what I like to do. One of the biggest lessons that I've learned and I've now experienced in my own life is I don't have to manufacture a work for God. God's already working. He's doing something in this world. I just have to find it and get in the stream and float and let him guide me from there. That puts so much pressure off of me to try to manufacture or start the spark. No, like the flame is already burning super bright. I just have to go find it. So the same thing, like you're saying, you know, there's a me out there like, no, God is already doing something. He's not dead. He's in charge. He's running the world. Everything is happening up until this point because he's in charge. We don't have to manufacture it. We just have to find it. So I think that I've learned that from many conversations over this podcast and the network about pastors and even this network. Like we are caught up in the midst of that revolution right now, and God's doing, and we just want to stay there, right? And it's our job just to make sure we're still following and make sure we stay in the stream, so to speak, because that's where the momentum is at. I've definitely had times in my life where I have been pedaling up that stream, and like, I'm like, this is clearly not it, right? Because it's awkward. It's not working. Like whatever. I'm not saying like if you face opposition, you're outside of God's will. That's not what I mean. However, it's very clear like when you're in the flow and when you're not. And I think that's one of the biggest things for me.
Can I let me speak to that?
Yeah, sure.
I agree. I obviously I'm not going to disagree. This idea that we feel like if something's going to happen, I've got to make it happen.
Yeah.
If you've never read Experiencing God by Blackaby, it's definitely worth a read because he's reflecting exactly what Drew is speaking to right now. And that is God is at work. What you need to do is find where God is working and ride that wave.
Yeah.
We feel so often like we have to critique every wave around us as if it's a wave from the devil, when in reality, it wasn't just a wave. It's not a wave from the devil. It's just a wave that you did not create.
Yeah.
And it was a wave that God did. And so, like you said, in your local congregation, there are those people, but even your local church, getting involved in your community or in your network, Idea Network is one of them, and saying, how can I serve where God is already moving, obviously? And man, that's such a great, valid point. Yeah. You don't have to create the wave. The wave is already there. Find it and ride it.
Yeah, and I remember a podcast we did with Logan Wolf. He's a church planner up in Utah. Mm. And he said, I had to come to the realization, did I want God's work to be done, or did I want God's work to be done only if it had my name on it?
Wow.
And I thought that was really brilliant for him because that takes a lot of humility and saying like, hey, maybe I'm not in the wave right now. Maybe the wave is across town, and maybe my role right now is just supporting the work that's across town. That's the best thing I can do right now. And I think that, you know, you've done that a lot in Las Vegas with Haydn and lots of different pastors that you're supporting who don't necessarily walk the same stripe you do, but you were trying to encourage them and build a relationship with them and encourage them along the ministry because you realize that they have a job to do as well.
That's a great message for us.
That kind of bleeds into the next one. So God's work is bigger than your local church.
Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of people that are church members here that have come from turbulent pasts, and they have been preached to for years on edge that God only meets at their physical address, right? And they're the only ones that are doing God's work the right way, right? Or maybe we wouldn't say like that, but maybe somewhere in the back of our minds, we would think maybe we have just a little bit more of God's favor because we're doing it the right way, quote unquote, right? And that just simply is not true. I think there's so many ways that God is working throughout the world, not only in missions, but also in other local churches, not in just our city, but across the world, that it would be naive of us to not have a kingdom mindset. And I think, you've done such a great job of that over the years in your kingdom mindset and making sure like, hey, like I'm going to be a good steward of not only the talent I have, but also the people that God's entrusted me at this time, because God's work is so much bigger than just our local church here at Pebble Road. Right. And that's really true.
It changes the entire mindset, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
I can actually much more rejoice when I know that, that my influence of helping a young adult, as he grows, his path doesn't have to end
sure.
right here.
Yeah.
I just had two conversations with two young adults that I've personally mentored. One of them feels God strongly calling them to do more in our community for our local church. The other is feeling strongly that God is calling them to help a church planter in town. Neither of them are preachers.
Yeah.
Both of them are just working in the secular community.
Yeah.
One of them wants to increase their responsibility at Southern Hills. The other one wants to leave Southern Hills bring their 20-year-old youth vibrancy and excitement for ministry to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, I used to just push against that. But then I realized there's a guy named Joseph Gibbons who's planting a church who could love having the help of that 21-year-old yeah. kid. Or Jack Devine, who's just starting like next year. How amazing if his first year as a church planter had this 21-year-old alongside of him as he's serving in the community.
Yeah.
So you're right, that kingdom mentality, it's not just good for the kingdom, it's good for the pastor's soul.
Yeah.
Because he realizes, look, even if things did not go great in my local church today, it went great in the kingdom.
Yeah. And the reality is we would never say this, right? But that 20-year-old or 21-year-old is probably on our C team.
Good
but if
point.
They go to that other church crosstown, they are on the AA++ team, right?
Yeah.
Because of who they are. So I think about that a lot. Kind of it bleeds into that. You said this early on in your ministry. I remember when I first came to church, this stuck out to me. But you said Southern Hills is never going to be a museum for saints. It's supposed to be a hospital for sinners. And I think about that's the mentality, right? Of like when you're trying to have that kind of mentality of reaching the lost, discipling people and getting them trained and sending them back out, like it's a different mentality altogether. I wrote this down. It's a quote, a person named Khalil Johnson. It says, "Relationship of all kinds are like sand held in your hand, held loosely with an open hand. The sand remains where it is. The minute you close your hand and squeeze tightly to hold on, the sand trickles to your fingers. You may hold on to it, but most will be spilled. A relationship is like that. Held loosely with respect and freedom for the other person, it is likely to remain intact. But hold too tightly, too possessively, and the relationship slips away and is lost." If you think about your track record, like Cody Cool, Steve Miller, Zeb Greenfield, Akeem Smith, Blake Hunt, all these people, right? If you held on to them, say, no, they're mine. I trained them. I discipled them. They're supposed to be here for my ministry. You would lose them eventually anyway. But because you have such a kingdom mindset, and the fact is, they were here for a season. You did what you could with them. You stewarded them faithfully, and now they're doing great things. That's the kingdom. You're advancing the kingdom in that. Okay, two more things. Just a quote, but one of my favorite episodes was with Haydn here.
Yeah, love Haydn.
One thing he said to me, and it's just because it slaps so far against the traditional ministry mindset of many growth mindset churches. He says, "The only thing we should seek to compete with one another on is honoring one another." That's the only thing the Bible says ever compete against each other, is in how we can honor the other person better. And I think about, I don't know him very well. I don't know of his ministry that well. I know you know him a lot better than I do. But that stuck with me. And it's like, hey, like if we as Christians are supposed to compete against one thing against each other, it's how we can honor the other person better. And I think in my life, like that's what I want to be known for is, hey, like how can I honor those that they came to pass, who are with me now, then who, what might be with me in the future. So I love that quote.
I love that quote too. Yeah. And I love Haydn's reputation in this community as a pastor to honor the pastors who have come before him. And now I've noticed, because he's been pastoring now for nearly a decade, he not only honors the pastors of the past, he's now honoring the church planters of the future.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who started 10 years after I did, and I'm following his leadership. Why? Yeah. Because he is a man who honors others. And I've been asking myself these questions. Have I stood up against bad things in the past? Yes. Am I also standing up to give honor where honor is due in the past? Ministry leaders, churches, colleges, movements, denominations. Boy, what a great point to honor. And not just honor other ministries, honor other pastors, but honor the members of our church. And you've demonstrated that in our church. You've demonstrated that within our podcast and within the network, and it's greatly appreciated. But I agree, we as ministry leaders need to remember that to give honor to whom honor is due.
Yeah, instead of competing against such trivial things sometimes. Mm. All right, last one. It's kind of a weird concept, but the concept is this. The only difference between magic and technology is time. So how am I going to apply that to ministry, right? There, let's just be honest, and you can be vulnerable here or not, it's up to you. There were so many things a few years ago that you're getting so much flack on. From preferences, things we were changing. Yeah. First, things that we only meant to change here at Southern Hills because you wanted advanced Southern Hills here in Las Vegas, right? But then, like, we just had an episode with Carrie Schmidt talking about social media. Somebody in social media saw it, got offended because we were bleeding edge, whatever, right? Well, the thing is, like, now we're 3 or 4 years removed from that. And everybody's like, huh, maybe it wasn't such an outlandish, crazy, stupid idea, right? Maybe Josh was just following God for his season, the time of life and ministry, right? So I think about that phrase, the only difference between magic and technology is the matter of time. What might have been novel or bleeding edge or outlandish or rebellious even a few years ago has now we've seen, just because we've stayed the way we are and just try to follow God, slow, maybe
mainstream.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like you're getting nearly as much flack for those things now because people are coming around and realizing, hey, like, maybe we should think about different versions of the Bible because the culture we're ministering to.
Yeah.
Maybe we should change our music and go away from having hymnals and embrace technology. Maybe those things weren't like the old paths, so to speak, that we think about. Am I out of line by saying that?
No, you're bringing it right down to the home point. Now, if you're newer to the podcast, you may not even be aware of these, but if you've been listening for a while, you're like, yeah, Drew's hitting actually a very core element of where this podcast was so many years ago, and where the network was. And we're, by the way, some of you guys and ladies, we love you. You're still there. And it's scary because you're stepping out of the realm of approved methods for your denomination. And as you do, you are beginning to ask questions like, okay, I know within our local church setting, I should be doing this to help build our own local congregation to be closer to God. And you said a key phrase there, Drew. You said, we begin to ask questions like, what is right for Southern Hills in our community to help grow these Christians and disciple these Christians here?
Right.
And that's where all of those decisions were made. Simple decisions like not having Sunday school because we didn't have the rooms for it, and embracing small groups throughout the week, which was a revolutionary, crazy, terrible within our denominational structure. Compromise, the word compromise.
Local pastor axes Sunday school because he doesn't believe anymore. Right. Well, not really.
Because he doesn't believe in teaching the Bible.
Yeah.
Embracing music that was made in the 21st century for a 21st century audience. Things like not necessarily wearing a businessman's suit, but dressing more like the businessmen of Las Vegas. And the businessmen of Las Vegas are much more casual and fit the cultural context of where I was. I'll never forget going into our banker's office, and our banker that was giving us a loan for $3 million was wearing tennis shoes and jeans and a button-down.
Yeah.
And now that may not be the case, you know, in Charlotte, North Carolina, but that's the case here in Las Vegas. And so for our local context, we began to make some methodological shifts that worked really well for our church. But boy, did the brethren have a major issue with that.
Yeah.
And you're right, time.
Yeah.
So now 5 years later, we look and say, does anybody really see that as an issue? And the answer is no. Yeah. Very few do.
Right.
So whereas it could have been 80 or 90% of our audience or our community or our denominational background might have had a big problem with it, suddenly they don't.
Yeah.
So what is the practical message does that look like for the person listening to this right now?
Yeah, I think for me, we're going to Tarantino the entire subject and just get back to the beginning as far as like, just get into where God's working. Mm. Were you early to the party?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But was Josh maybe closer to God than other people? Like, no, we're not saying that, right? God didn't give you some special revelation about whatever, right? All you were trying to do was just obey God for what he was telling you to do. And it would have been wrong of you not to do that. So I think about the whole concept of, no, don't manufacture something. Just find God's work, what he's already doing, and just get involved in it.
Yeah.
I'll tell a quick story about my future company that I'm going to, about like cultural things that they had to get over. So as you know, Chick-fil-A is like a very Southern company. They're founded in Atlanta.
Do they allow you to mention the name on
the
podcast?
They allow me to, yeah, okay, I'm good. Right, I'm good.
Right. Chick-fil-A seems to be a different company.
It's
than
a totally
Apple.
Different company than Apple.
Oh, okay.
In a lot of great ways. But the guy that interviewed me the last like two times, he was opening up a store in Seattle. And at the time they had a rule, like if you had any tattoos, you had to cover them up because it was like, you know, it wasn't the image Chick-fil-A wanted to portray. And he's like, yeah. And so like he goes to Seattle, right? They're opening up a store. He's like in full button-up shirt, tie, right? In a suit, you know, everything like that. Like he's supposed to be as a corporate employee. And they're starting to source people and hire and try to get candidates in the staff this restaurant. And he's like, yeah, so like I literally can't hire anybody here. Like everybody is covered in tattoos. Like that's not going to work. So they changed their policy, right? And I think that's a good, you know, even businesses from time to time who will hold certain cultural norms have to change because that's where society is going. So I don't know. Hopefully that story helps.
I think that story is exactly emblematic of what has happened at Southern Hills and what needs to happen within local church community. And I'm glad for the example of Chick-fil-A. Some might say, oh my goodness, taking our cues from the world, the worldly business of Chick-fil-A.
I think, you know, that's most of what I had. I think, I don't know, where Idea Network will be 5 years from now. Mm. You know, I think you're in the middle of, doing some troubleshooting there as well as like staffing and that kind of stuff, which I know it's going to, the future's bright. But at its core, like I it's a tribe that I didn't necessarily need, but I'm certainly glad to be a supporter of. I love the story that Robbie Green tells about like when he first came to Idea Network, he was a pastor without a tribe, right? And I think that's so apropos because there's so many people that are recovering Baptist, recovering Presbyterian, Republic, recovering whoever, right? And the entire goal of, I think, our entire ministry has just been to love on pastors and ministry leaders so they can be better pastors and ministry leaders.
And that's what we hope to continue to be. What you've invested, Drew, in this community of ministry leaders is a spirit of love. It's a spirit of wisdom. The phrases and the statements that you've made over these years have been incredibly beneficial to us. And if it weren't for the ministry that you've had in this, I don't know that the network would be cohesive the way it has been. And we're grateful to you. So I can speak on behalf of the network, for those members of the network, for those who have been involved. We are grateful to you, and we show you honor and thank you for what you've done for this ministry over these last 5 years. And we're looking forward to seeing you at a future Idea Day.
My pleasure.
My pleasure. Perfect.